Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP studio visit. The captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace today. I hope you're having a good Friday. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, please give us a call at 844-500-4242. As I said, we were going to talk about some solutions to solving the problems down in D.C. And one of the things that I believe that we definitely we have to have, and I would say I am, I didn't necessarily believe this when I first got into politics. I believed elections were term limits. But now I believe with the way that you've got these super PACs and these business PACs and everybody funneling money to these incumbents to protect their turf, that you got to have term limits. You just have to have term limits. And so to discuss what we should do on term limits, and I know it's been around for a while, but it is making a huge surge. So I thought we'd talk to Corky Messenger. You might remember him. He ran for U.S. Senate up in New Hampshire, where Republicans can actually win. West Point graduate, law degree from the University of Denver, founder of his own law firm. So, Corky, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Holly, how are you? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for running. Thank you for your service to our country. Really appreciate it. So tell me, U.S. term limits seems to be really making, people are getting it that we need term limits, that we need to, people going down there and serving for 40 years is just not working out for us, correct?
Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, we have so many career politicians in Washington, D.C. that they are detached from what the American people are experiencing, and it's got to change. I mean, we have Nancy Pelosi, who's been in Washington, D.C., I don't know, for 40 or 50 years. Joe Biden for over 50 years, going on 60 years.
I thought he said
Chuck
200
Schumer.
Years, didn't he, at one point?
Yeah, right. right. Yeah, he may believe that, actually. So it's time that you know, we elect people who have life experiences like most Americans. You know, I grew up in a blue-collar family, and I went to West Point. I served in the Army, and I became a lawyer and an entrepreneur, and I understand what it is to hire people and build a business. And we need more representatives and senators that have that real-life experience.
So, Corky, what is happening right now with term limits? My understanding is they just passed, but they're making a big push for a call for a convention. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that process works?
Yeah, it's, several states now, I forget the exact number, that the state legislatures have passed a resolution to have an Article 5 convention to solely change the Constitution to impose term limits on the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. And it is important and very, very important to note that this is solely for that one issue. And there's momentum building in that area, and it's an issue that I think most people agree with, that their representatives and their senators should be limited in their terms. And so it's just a question of building that momentum to get enough states to have that kind of action to amend the Constitution solely to limit the terms of the legislators.
So these are state legislatures. They're passing a call for a convention, and that will bypass Congress. Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
So that they can bypass Congress and say, hey, Congress, we're going to call a convention and we are going to pass term limits whether you like it or not.
Yeah, because, of course, the U.S. Congress, I don't think, would ever vote to limit themselves.
Now, how many states do they need to do this?
You need to help. I think it's 38. Is that the correct number? Is it?
I believe it's 34. Four, right? And they just passed, and West Virginia just passed it as well, saying that they're calling for a convention. So it seems to be, you know, big push, seems to be a big push right now. And North Carolina's House just passed it. So then they just got to get it passed in the Senate, and then they'll be joining this call for a convention. And it seems like people are united on this issue. Do you find that when you're out there talking to people, it cuts across party lines?
Yeah, I experienced that during my campaign. I was asked the question so many times. Almost at every event I did, I was asked how many terms I would serve. And I made it clear that I had signed the U.S. Term Limits Pledge and that I would serve no more than two terms, and I heard that, and I got that question from Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. So it's an issue that I think people recognize it contributes and is probably the leading factor of why Washington's D.C. is so broken and can't get anything meaningful done that actually helps the American people.
I believe Congress is the poster child for term limits. Every time you hear some of the crazy stuff coming out of AOC's mouth, I know she hasn't been in there enough to knock her out, but if term limits passed, it'd be three terms. So next time would be her last term. But you've got Nancy Pelosi, who's been in there forever. And remember her, you know, we'll pass it to find out what's in it on the Barack Obama health care bill. We've got to have people that are going to respond to the people. But with the system that we have right now, where you've got, the mail-in ballots, which helps incumbency, where you've got these super PACs, and we've got all this PAC money that's flowing down there, it just becomes they just run for re-election all the time. And because you've got the power of the incumbency, it's hard to defeat an incumbent. And so you really don't have a fair system where a challenger can defeat an incumbent.
Yeah, that's right. It is amazing to me that these people go and serve in Washington, D.C., and that somehow by being there for 30 or 40 years, they become incredibly wealthy on the salary of a congressperson or a senator.
It's surprising how that works, huh, Corky?
Yeah, it is very
surprising. Little insider trading there.
Yeah. And it is it's something I think we need to pay attention to. I think everyone needs to pay attention to it. And you know, the people that are there for so long just cannot relate to the everyday problems of people in the United States, and no matter where they are. So it's an issue that I think deserves much, much more attention. It's an important issue, and I think it's an issue that if we can actually get something done with it, that we have a chance then to fix Washington, D.C., if we can impose term limits.
Now, Corky, we're right up against it. How do people get more information about you, follow what you're up to up there in New Hampshire? We're right across the border. We're always willing to help our friends up in New Hampshire.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very involved in politics. I started a PAC called the New Hampshire Advantage PAC. And we're about, you know, getting Republicans elected. And, we're starting to, come up with a plan of how we can get involved in the U.S. term limits movement. And, so you can go to the website, nhadvantagepac.org and learn about what we're doing and everything we have going on.
All right. Well, thank you, Corky, for joining us, and you have a great Easter weekend. Thank you so much. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today. And if you want to be part of our conversation, give us a call at 844-500-4242. Jared's kind of nice. He doesn't bite your head off all too often on these things. So I did get a couple questions emailed to me during the break, and people were asking a little bit more about term limits. You can go to termlimits.com. And what they're doing is they're doing this call for a convention. It's called Article 5, and they're having each state do it. Massachusetts, we got to get going on this and have Massachusetts do it. I know term limits didn't pass in the state of Massachusetts. The legislature blocked it, but we don't require what they call as a constitutional convention here in the state of Massachusetts to pass this resolution. It's just a majority in the House and the Senate to do this call for a congressional term limits. And we can get it done here in Massachusetts. So if you want to get involved, go to termlimits.com. Also, they have a pledge for you to sign for Article 5. Let people know that here in Massachusetts, we do support congressional term limits. You know, look at how long our people have been. Ed Markey, poster child for it, right? I mean, Ed Markey, come on. So go sign it. Go get involved with this whole issue. Real important. Let's take back Congress. Jared, today's poll question is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. Join a winning team. Apply in person tomorrow at the job fair at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro or online at avivatrattoria.com. They're hiring for over 1,000 positions with great incentives. And they sponsor our poll question today. Jared, what is the poll question?
Will Charlie Bacon wear a mask in Florida this weekend?
Do you think people are confused with Bacon or Parker or Barton?
Will our Democrat governor,
yes,
on his trip to Florida be wearing a mask this weekend?
The ultimate rhino, the poster child for being a rhino. And what are the results so far?
46% of the audience believes he will wear a mask, and 54% believe no, he will not. He will enjoy free Florida.
Why wouldn't you enjoy free Florida? But I mean, he's going to Florida.
COVID doesn't take Florida off.
That's a good one. I mean, look at I can't believe he's going when he just said, don't go outside your little bubble, right? He said, don't go outside your little bubble, but he's going outside the bubble, right? Isn't he?
And I would assume he'd have to be.
You think he's taking his kids?
I don't know. He may be taking his dad. Can you see his? And I'm not making it like that. Can he see his dad yet? Do we know?
Well, I'm sure the dad
got the vaccine, right?
Right?
Okay, so he's probably taking his dad. Yeah.
Right. I mean, but is he taking little Gropey?
Flight, I would say. Probably
I would
not
want to be on the seat next to that guy. So, so anyways, I don't know if you please check out. I've got a new column on the Howie Carr Show website. And it's about tax expenditures in the state of Massachusetts. And you're like, yeah, well, the state of Massachusetts spends a lot of money. We sure do. But do you really know what a tax expenditure is? Most people would say, well, it's plowing or paving the roads. Nope, it's not. In the state of Massachusetts, a tax expenditure, I kid you not, is something we don't tax, such as food and clothing. That's right. The Bacon Hill thinks that it is a expenditure on their behalf not to collect taxes on some item. Jared, is that backwards?
It's so backwards.
It is so backwards. So while we were doing COVID, the Tax Expenditure Committee was meeting, and I was able to follow them on Zoom meetings. I only dialed in. I never went online because I didn't want them to see me. So I figured they wouldn't be too happy to see me there. So their new report is out, 358 pages. And Jared can vouch that I've got the 358 pages in front of me. I'm probably one of the few people that actually printed out and read through this nightmare. And it is a nightmare. I have to read you this quote, though, from Senator Hines. This is what this guy said about tax expenditures. Now, knowing what a tax expenditure is, he's assuming when he said this that people don't know what it is. I think that's the key. Massachusetts spends billions of dollars each year in tax expenditures. What? I mean, without the same scrutiny of a typical budget process. We're not spending billions of dollars in tax expenditures. We're letting people keep their money. But that's their mentality. They think that your money is their money and they're allowing you to keep it. Massachusetts spends billions of dollars each year in tax expenditures. You got to be kidding me on this. This commission is a critical part of adding transparency and accountability while ensuring hard-earned tax dollars are spent wisely. This guy is blatantly lying, blatantly trying to mislead people about what they were doing and what a tax expenditure is. This is outrageous. Now, the worst part about the report is the cover page where it says biennial. So that means in 2023, they're coming out with another one of these reports. So what has this report given us other than 358 pages? And I would certainly, if he was all for transparency and accountability, I'd love to know how much this crap cost us. I would love to know how much this cost us. So one of the studies they did, and I hope you'll read my column on the Howie Carr Show, was gas tax. They did this analysis of the gas tax. And I like when I'm listening to it, they were really boring meetings. But all of a sudden I hear gas tax and I'm like, what? Right. I'm like, how is that a tax expenditure? We already pay gas taxes, federal and state. How is that a tax expenditure? And they said, well, we're not collecting sales tax on the gas tax. Right. Because you collect an excise tax of 24 cents on it. Leave the gas tax alone. Did you not see the ballot question? So they studied the gas tax and they said, well, okay, so if we were to put a sales tax on the gas tax, we would make less money than the excise tax that they're collecting now. So therefore, the tax expenditure is not collecting a sales tax on the gas tax, not double taxing us. And they've decided that they're going to keep the gas tax as is because they make more money that way. However, they weren't done. Oh, there's the music. We got to take a short break. You're not off the hook. They might not be increasing the gas tax, but they are going to tax something that you really like. I'm Holly Robichaud. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley on this Good Friday. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, hey, give us a call at 844-500-4242. And before the break, we were talking about the Tax Expenditure Committee. A tax expenditure is something that the state of Massachusetts does not collect taxes on. And I told you that the gas tax, they're not going to put a sales tax on it. But they were looking at the excise taxes that they collect on alcohol. And they figured out, while it's good for the gas tax to collect the excise tax, doesn't work out for them so well on alcohol. So, Jared, they're going to propose legislation to get basically remove the excise tax and put a sales tax on, because they can get more money out of us. I really.
Bring back flavored tobacco for me, and you can tax me on that. How about that? Give me some of my freedoms back. You can tax me on those.
Oh, don't say that, because then they'll say, you know, I heard Jared, so we'll keep the excise tax and put the sales tax on it. I mean, these people have it's never enough, okay? So
super secret double tax.
Right, okay. They're not done, though. Okay, I'm not done with what – it's 358 pages here. So – they looked at vending machines. How petty is it that they look at vending machines about taxing people? Really? Vending machines. I mean, this is, they're so into, oh, somebody walked around, there's a vending machine. I mean, I took the elevator instead of the stairs today. I mean, do they go, oh, look, she pressed the button. She took the elevator. There should be a tax on the elevator. I mean, this is ridiculous. So vending machines, while it's likely, this is what they wrote, while it's likely there are fewer vending machines than when the expenditure committee was adopted, the tax expenditure remains as relevant as it would be impractical for the vendor to charge a sales tax at the point of sale. Well, let me just clue you in, you geniuses. What's in most vending machines?
Food and drink?
Right. Why would we collect, right? Isn't food and drink exempt from it?
I believe it is.
Right. So, but then they go on to say, it might be the case in the future that if all sales are processed electronically with barcodes and payments are electronic, that the compliance costs would be small, so this exemption would not be needed. Exemption not needed? How about you, food is not taxed, so why would you be collecting? Talk about ridiculous. So
they're not collecting a tax on the food. They're collecting a tax on the transfer of energy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Semantics. Holly, semantics.
I got another one for you, Jared. Okay. They weren't done. Okay. They were not done. So they went after your savings, the exemption of interest on your savings in a bank. They're in favor of taxing that now. I mean, if it wasn't a tax on it, they're taking a look at it. Business meals. They went after, so if you write off a business meal, they're thinking that should be counted as, they're trying to figure out a way. They're like, they don't think they can get it done right now, but they would love to figure out a way that would be counted as income. So say you get a free meal or you go to a Christmas party or something like that, but like you could do that right now. That would be a benefit to you so that they could tax it because it's part of your income. These people are crazy out there. They are crazy. And this is what's going on up in Bacon Hill while you're being forced out of work because of COVID. You're sitting at home. They're not. They're having these Zoom meetings and going, let's find new ways to tax you. I don't kid you. We really do earn our nickname, Taxachusetts. Let's go to Madison. Madison, you're on next with Holly Robichaud. Good afternoon, Madison.
Yes. I feel the diversity of career politicians and non-career politicians is okay as so long as it's an exception and not the norm.
So career politicians should be gone. So I'm not getting.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. He waited a while too. So, but anyways, okay. So going back to Bacon Hill, the gas tax, if you have it, the excise tax is okay because it collects more money. But the excise tax on alcohol, not okay because they can get more money out of the sales tax. Vending machines, we got to tax them. Now, you probably don't know this, but 8 years ago during Deval Patrick's administration, he raised the fees on the people that run vending machines by like 200% on these people that have these vending machines businesses. But, you know, let's just whack them again. And you know, if it's an electronic machine, we can get no. What happened to food being exempt from it? You know what's going to happen in that situation is people are going to be like, forget it. Because when you have a vending machine and you're collecting sales tax through it, it's going to become you're going to have to do a lot more bookkeeping to send that money into the state. And it's no longer like this little easy business that people can do on the side to make a couple of extra bucks. Nope, it's going to be a big problem for them. Your savings in the bank. And they're basically saying like, well, let me read this, right? So up to $100 of interest from savings deposits or savings accounts in Massachusetts is deductible from your gross income. The statute doesn't explicitly state the purpose of this tax expenditure. It's like to encourage people to save. Right? I mean, aren't we supposed to be encouraging people to save? But God forbid anybody save a couple hundred bucks in the state of Massachusetts. You should send it all in.
Joke's on you. Once Joe Biden's done, I'm not even going to have a savings account.
I know. That was the other poll question we were debating. Biden's saying, no way anybody under $400,000 is going to be paying taxes, tax increase. That's not true. You do the math, okay? It's pretty simple math when we're $28 trillion in debt. If you take a look at that, even if you were to tax like Mark Zuckerberg 100% of his wealth, it's not enough. No matter who you go, Bill Gates, not enough. It's not enough money. So they are going to have to tax people under $400,000. And if you might recall, Barack Obama made the same type of promise. Jared, do you remember that?
I do.
And did he keep it or break it?
It got broken.
Do you believe that Joe Biden's going to keep his word? No. I mean, come on. He's already broken his word already when he's like, oh, I'm going to be bipartisan. And then he's like, well, the Republicans have to do what I say, and that way it'll be bipartisan. No, that's not how it works. That's not how this works. So bipartisan's like you come together and each side gives and takes. And no, he's not doing that. But God forbid in the state of Massachusetts that you save a little bit of money, they need to tax it. I couldn't believe this when I read this report, vending machines. What? Wait a minute. Shouldn't that the first discussion have been like, well, vending machines pretty much have food and drink in it, so why would we tax it? I have fought these guys for so long up there. I mean, I remember when the gas tax came down the line and getting my friends together and say, you know, we should stop this in the state of Massachusetts, taxation with no representation. It shouldn't happen. And now we've got these senators in there that think that a tax expenditure, they have to have accountability of not taxing you. Therefore, their mindset is that your money is their money. And God forgive you for keeping a cent of it. I could not believe this report. And I believe it's online at the auditor's office. So you can get it there. Why the auditor was on this, shouldn't she have been auditing something? I mean, why is she on this committee?
Well, she's going to make sure it's on the up and up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got to be reasonable amount of tax incentives.
I was like, why doesn't she go audit something? I mean, when he says, well, we got to ensure accountability of hard-earned tax dollars, here's a thought. The auditor should maybe audit the Department of Transportation, $675,000 per mile per year on the roads. I mean, I've looked through the state auditor's website and I see no auditing of the DOT. There's a couple little, what she does is for audits. I mean, is she does these little itty bitty audits of like a section of like a department. And that's what she's done with the MBTA. She hasn't done a real audit of the MBTA. She hasn't done a real audit of the DOT. I mean, do a real audit of, here's one of the Registry of Motor Vehicles. I got a priceless one on for you on this one. So I sent in my money for my registration, and of course the state cashed it, right? They cashed it. They didn't send back the registration, the little sticker. They didn't send it back. 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 So I made some calls. They finally sent it to me. And my stepson drives my other car, right? And they sent back the wrong registration. I'm like, no, you send the one that's up. They sent me back the same registration I already paid for last year, right? I mean, they sent me back the wrong registration. Priceless. I just was like, you can't make this stuff up with this. And they can't run anything correctly. I just find it so frustrating. So I hope that everybody would check out my column for the Howie Carr Show on the Tax Expenditure Committee. It's absolutely outrageous with what they're doing, and you'll be so frustrated. I am watching out for you while everybody else is not watching out. So anyways, I'm Holly Robichaud filling in for Grace Curley. We're going to be right back. We're going to be talking to the man, Howie Carr, when we come back.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley on this Good Friday. Today's crossover is brought to you by McConnell's Irish Whiskey. You'll know when you take your first sip, some things are worth the wait. Also, while Howie McConnell's Whiskey is sponsoring your studio VIP visits, once you return, Howie, this will be the Tuesday, May 4th, and you can enter a chance to win a free VIP visit. Just go to HowieCarshow.com and click on McConnell's Whiskey banner. So, hey, Howie.
Hi there, Holly.
How you doing?
Very good. Very good.
So did you see the story about Sal DeMacy yesterday?
No, what's the Sal DeMacy story today? Is he on death's doorstep, or as Joe Biden would say, desk's doorstep?
No, he is. The SJC postponed the oral arguments in his case involving being a registered lobbyist.
Right. He is a registered lobbyist. I looked him up a couple of weeks ago. He's there on the list. I didn't see any clients, but he's there as a registered lobbyist working out of an apartment, it looks like, in, I think, Melrose or someplace like that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, Secretary of State's banning him, and the judge says that one of the judges agreed that DeMacy's argument with the law banning him is because in lobbying Massachusetts, he was convicted of state crimes, not federal crimes. So...
You think somebody's going to get compassionate release because they're on death's doorstep, think of Sal DeMacy. He was on death's doorstep 5 years ago. It's better than going to Lourdes, you know, getting into the Springs or something for miraculous cures. These people who are dying, I noticed Zip Connolly is still hanging in there in Pompano Beach on the Atlantic seashore with his buddy Franny Joyce from the Mass Convention Center Authority.
It makes you wonder about the healthcare system within the prison system then.
Yes, it does.
Are they paying off doctors with cigarettes and little chocolate bars or something like that to say, oh, you're on death's doorstep so you can get a free pass to get out of jail?
Yeah, Bernie Madoff, he used to be at the same prison that Sal was at. It's Butner in North Carolina. I wonder if Bernie Madoff's going, when am I getting out of here? If they let Sal out,
right?
How much worse am I than Sal?
Well, I always think it's funny that Sal DeMacy took his money, his payoffs, in a check, whereas Diane Wilkerson was actually a better criminal. She was taking cash and stuffing it in her bra. I mean, that's
I've been wondering about Zip Connolly. Now, did he have to get his stimulus check forwarded from the jail, the prison he was at down on the shores of Lake Okeechobee, or was it delivered to his new address in Pompano Beach?
I'm thinking that probably in this situation, the Biden administration was probably right on top of sending it to his new address. What do you think?
Or maybe they sent him to both addresses.
Oh, you got two stimulus checks? I haven't gotten mine yet. Have you?
No, I'm not holding my breath either.
Well, you're a law-abiding citizen. What did you expect? hey, so you saw, obviously, the tax expenditure situation.
Yes.
This is crazy that I've been reading the 358 pages that they would even take a look at vending machines. How petty is that? I mean, it shows you the depth that they will go to tax anything in the state of Massachusetts.
Well, I don't understand the whole thing about the booze. I mean, where's their memory? I mean, the sales tax on the excise tax on alcohol was voted out.
It was voted out.
And now they're coming back for another bite at the apple?
Well, they're saying the excise tax doesn't collect as much money as a sales tax, so therefore it would be better to have the sales tax.
I don't know. I wrote again about the TCI today, you know, about how whatever else Joe Biden did, he tried to increase the gasoline tax, but wasn't going to work. So he pulled back. But Charlie Parker is not pulling back because they need that extra money to solve global warming. The state of Massachusetts can solve global warming. Did you see the story in the papers today about the Registry of Motor Vehicles, Holly?
Yes, I did. I mean,
they're going to solve global warming, but the last 3 days they haven't been able to issue vehicle inspection stickers.
Right, because they can't handle that.
They can't take care of the nursing homes. They can't prevent fraud in the state police, but they're going to solve global warming.
They, you know what, Howie? They are just brilliant, aren't they? Don't send any more money there. They find more ways to waste it. I mean, they don't spend it on the right things. They just waste it. So, hey, looking forward to your show, Howie. Thanks so much.